Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. And I'm absolutely delighted to say I am joined by the returning king, the prodigal son, Mr. Jim Colberg of the London Magpies, and joined by Aaron Stokes as well from the Daily Star Sport. What a wonderful lineup. Firstly, before we even talk about the game, well, we have to talk about the game, the 4-0 on the weekend. We'll look towards the game with Crystal Palace as well, because that is a big one. Two sides struggling to get goals. We're going to be, what are we making of Andy Carroll's injury? Joe Linton, a lot's been made in the press. But Jim, you are back, and it is brilliant to have you back. How are you?
It's like Shearer and Keegan all at once, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And we need it at this minute. This show needs this boost. The team needs that boost.
My timing is appalling with this, but yeah, good to be back.
Great to have you back, Jim. A return we've waited for quite some time now, but it is. But as Jim said there, Aaron, not the return Jim would have hoped for, because the game on the weekend, once again, Newcastle struggling in the capital. It just seems whenever they come to London, apart from that game at Tottenham, they just can't collect the points. What started out so brightly in that first half wasn't continued with that second half performance.
I mean, after sitting there at half time, I was thinking, you know what, it's going to be like Chelsea all over again, 0-0. And it wasn't even as if we were defending constantly like we were against Chelsea and Everton. You know, I thought we were probably the better side first half. I mean, not by much, but we were probably the more comfortable. And then obviously whatever Steve Bruce said at the half time clearly just had the complete opposite effect, because within 10 seconds or 10 minutes, sorry, of the restart, it just all fell to pieces.
Yeah, it all fell to pieces. And I have to admit, from an Arsenal perspective at half-time, Newcastle looked a better side. They were, you know, for the first 30 minutes, they were the ones who had the chances. They were forcing it. Arsenal, you know, me and you spoke outside, Jim, they were misplacing their passes. Newcastle had seemingly found a little bit of a rhythm to work in. How was that not sustained in that second half period? Because it was completely a Jekyll and Hyde team from that first half.
I think what it boils down to is you're probably seeing Newcastle at fifth or sixth gear there. A lot of the time it seems tantamount to getting the ball to Saint-Maximin or Almiron. And then if beyond that, we're sort of bereft of ideas. I think in fairness, we've had the new players come in and not look too bad. There was a contrasting performance in terms of Lazaro, who looked good on the ball, and I think we had a lot more balance with Rose and him on the various, you know, wing back positions. But there was lapse defending for the goal on Lazaro's part, and then I think Danny Rose was quite quiet, whether that due down to match fitness or whatever. But it's a contrasting thing, because it was a more positive performance than we've seen. I think there was a little bit of Arsenal getting into gear at that point, and it always looked a little bit like they perhaps could go up a gear. But that sort of re-emphasised my point. I think once you get Saint-Maximin, and he was giving Bellerin a torrid time.
He was having a great game here.
He was, yeah. And that's the case. Once you nullify those players, or they become less effective, then I think that's it, really. That's the showing for Newcastle as an offensive unit.
Yeah, and obviously we know how good they've been defensively this year. We talk about, you know, they haven't conceded that many goals. They've been a great foundation, you know, defensively. It's offensively where they have struggled, and we know 24 goals this year. There is a worry now, playing Palace as well on the weekend, where the goals and the chances are going to come from.
I mean, yeah, we sat back in here in October and said, oh, you know, it's all well and good that the defenders and the midfielders are scoring, but there does need to be a point where Joe Linton and Almiron and Saint-Maximin start a fire. And still we're sat here 4 months down the line and they haven't. So, of course, it's a worry, it's a concern. You know, £80 million for the three of them. You know, I like Almiron, I like Saint-Maximin. I think they're very they've done all right. They just need to improve on that end product. So I mean, yes, it's worrying. I mean, you know, usually we haven't done very well in the capital, but you know, you'd sometimes be going to a game like Palace this weekend. They're not in the best of form. But for me, there's just no confidence there because I just can't see where on earth we score from, and that's been the worry all season. And you know, I am sort of worried that in the summer they're going to try and persist with these three, and Mike Ashley isn't maybe going to want to dip into his pocket because he's put his money where his mouth is. He spent 40 million on Jolton, and is he now going to want to do that again? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, Steve Bruce did make some comments today saying they can't really express themselves or play expansive football because results like Arsenal, that is what happens when they do that. Newcastle have now lost 78 Premier League games as an away side in the capital. That is the most in the competition's history in the Premier League. Quite a damning stat there, but we know they also have had success, like what we said, Tottenham earlier on in the season. Is there a worry? You guys know, you do the show week in, week out. We've spoke about it this season. It has been a little bit of a weird one, a little bit of a random one. They are better off than they were at this stage last season. But now, with results like that, and still quite a way to go this final third, that Newcastle aren't out of the woods yet and could still be suckered into what will go to the wire relegation race, Jim.
Well, I think it's pivotal we look at this. That the stat aside about points at this stage in last season, you know, put that to one side for a second. I think it's important that we look at the second half of the season and what happens now, because there's some big calls to be made in terms of tactics, in terms of the approach that is taken and the proactivity from the management and coaching team. Mm. Because what happened last season was Almiron was acquired. They linked up well with existing players like Rondon and Perez that were there. Players that have their goals have gone and not been replaced. So how now do we do things proactively to make sure that we finish strongly? So that's the how things go on from this point. We're playing a team going forward who are in a similar position. They're the team who've got less goals than us.
I think it's 19th and 20th, isn't
it? Exactly. So this is I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but it's a huge test for us now to we've played a team who are in Arsenal who are, you know, below par arguably, and you know, a matter of a single place above us, and so at that point, so now I think is a real test for the team. And Steve Bruce in a team that's in a similar situation, how can we impose a style of play? Because that's a big problem for me. We've been watching them this season. I cannot define what the style of play is. There's a lot of talk been made about expanding the team and making it evolve from what's gone on before. Now's the time to do that. Now's the time to make sure that there's a plan, and there's a plan enacted. When we play these next few important games, because it's really hard to pinpoint where the points will come from and where the goals will come from specifically, as Aaron alluded to.
Where the goals are coming from, where the points are coming from. Jim says the time is now, Aaron, but obviously the window's closed. How will we see it? Because when I say weird random season, you know, and I know Jim didn't want to say, look, we can't really compare to last season, but it's so difficult to judge because the team's doing well, not scoring goals. They're in a better position in the league. They've got more points than they did this stage. It's quite hard to work out where the points are coming from, but we've said this all season, and then Newcastle have picked up wins. They have picked up points, and they have scored goals, ultimately at Goodison Park when they were 2-0 down and it was in injury time, and they scored two goals, albeit again from the defence. It has happened, but where, and if we can sum it up, how can they move forward?
I personally don't think they will, because Steve Bruce has kept the same position all season. You know, he said in September when he first came in, we can't play expansive football. You know, I've got to play how Rafa Benitez set this team up, and he's still saying it now. You know, we've seen no progression, no development going forward in the last 6 months since he made those comments. You know, I remember watching us very, very early on in the season against Liverpool at Anfield, and the space between Jolton and the other attacking players on the pitch was frightening when we were trying to actually counter-attack. And it's the exact same as what I found watching it at the Emirates on Sunday. What you've also got to bring into play is, you know, yes, we're doing better on paper than we were under Benitez, but people that say Bruce is playing the same way as Benitez, I don't think he is. Yes, Benitez was defensive. Yes, he made us sit back, but and we were protected, as we are with Bruce, for large parts of the game. But it felt like there was a plan going forward, and it felt like we could actually attack when we wanted to, when we could actually give it at teams. I don't, you know, when has this Newcastle side actually gone out and proactively attacked a game? Even on Sunday in that first half, when we were slightly the better side, it wasn't as if we were completely on the front foot. We were still sat quite deep. Mm. And I think that, you know, whether we're away at Anfield against Liverpool or we're at home to Oxford or Rochdale, there just doesn't seem to be any different plans. It's just five at the back, sit deep, try not concede, try and counter-attack, and it's just not working.
Well, is this then because this still isn't Steve Bruce's team, because he's saying the players in the system, they can't play this way, this will take a few windows, you know, is he saying this is how these players can only play to this limitation, or is there more to it, you know, is Steve Bruce maybe covering it up a little bit there?
Well, I think that's wearing quite thin at this point, because there's only ever five players or so that remain from that that team. You know, inclusive the goalkeeper as well, who's had an outstanding season and has kept us in the vast majority of games. So I think really there's no denying we've had a vast amount of let me rephrase that more objectively. There's been an argument to be made that we've had a considerable amount of luck and favour go our way. I think we've probably seen the last of that now, because you only get so much. And I think now, as I say, is the time. This comparison to last season, the second half of last season as well, is, you know, that's it's quite a contrast, because we were playing some good stuff once Almiron, the triumvirate of the Spanish speakers, clicked with Rondon and Perez, and two of those have gone. So yes, that is an issue, and those haven't been replaced. But we had at the start, we start the season throughout the season regularly. Steve Bruce says happy with the squad he's got. We've got Mutu coming back. We've got Gale coming back. We've got Carroll coming back. Those players aren't going to come back now, and he's said that. So now, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and that's got to happen now. There's got to be a plan. So when we hear things like this time, this side can't change, you know, I can't impact, inferring he can't impact what's going on. It's very, very troubling and very, very worrying if you're talking about giving Steve Bruce a chance, and fans have. There's been this. I don't know whether it's a fraternity thing, or it's player backing Steve Bruce because he's come into a difficult situation. There's no doubt about it, but there's big questions to ask now of what he can do to change the club mentality, the outlook of the team going forward. There's some important decisions being made. You know, it seems like important players like Fabian Scher have been sidelined a little bit, so that, you know, he is having an impact on the team, and he is making choices, and his choices have impact and accountability as well. So he's got to be able to be big enough to stand up to that level of scrutiny, in my opinion.
But is he right or wrong in those comments, Aaron, from a sense that, you know, he thinks that maybe this is the best way to get results with this set of players? These players can't go out and attack games. These players can't go out and dominate and have the majority of possession and be on the front foot, as you say, because this is the best way for these players to sit back and get results. Rightly or wrongly, he's judged those players, as Jim said, and goes, look, we can't go to these teams, and this is no disrespect to Newcastle or respect to the other teams. This is the way that we have to navigate what is a difficult Premier League and 19 other teams.
I mean, to an extent, I think yes, you know, purely because of how well this team can defend when it wants to. It did under Benitez, it has under Bruce, you know. We defended very well against Chelsea when it was 0-0 till the 94th, you know. We've shown against the bigger teams like Tottenham and Man United at times we can defend. But that's not enough for fans, and I think it's lazy to say that this team can't attack, you know. Five of those players on the pitch on Arsenal Sunday are Steve Bruce signings, you know, and ASM, Joe Linton, he signed off on, and then you've got Lazaro,
Bentaleb
and Rose. So, you know, can he really say this is Benitez's team and we're defending when he's got to bring the players in? And I think, yes, I see his point. This is probably the best way, but as Jim touched on, we're using a lot of luck in games by sitting so deep, much deeper than we did under Benitez. And I think, you know, there's got to be a balance. Yes, sit tight when we're going away to London and, you know, we're not favourites in a game. But there's got to then be that attacking spell as well. And I think that's a big thing for fans. The fact that Bruce isn't even trying to attack.
Yeah.
You know, Cassie United's always been a team. You know, remember the Entertainers, you know. Fans want to see
attacking, fluid attacking football. Yeah.
And at times, under Benitez, we really did. And you could, even if we had Norwich at home, we would attack them and we would give it a go. Whereas under Bruce, we just don't seem to want it. And I think it is a bit of a lazy thing for Bruce to say, well, we can't do it. Mm. You know, if he needs to prove his merit and prove he's a good coach and at least give it a try.
Genuinely not defending Steve Bruce. You guys know me. Just offering the other perspective in this. When you say five Steve Bruce signings, are they Steve Bruce signings, though? Because we know that Joe Linton was offered to the club and Rafa didn't want to sign him. Look, Rafa goes, Steve comes in. Oh, they sign him. So you know how the club works. Are these Bruce's signings overall? Because, again, has he been able to sign the signings that he wants to play that expansive way that you mentioned there, Jim?
It's a fair point. And linked to that, we need to think about, well, what's the mood music been from Steve Bruce himself following that? So far, it's been, I'm happy with what I've been given. Mm. If
he has to toe the party line, though, doesn't he?
It seems that way, but you know, people respect.
Ashley likes it, yes, man.
People respected his predecessor for that. Yeah.
So
there you go. There's the in synchrony there.
Ah, I love it. That's why I brought you two together and Jim is back. Well, you are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show. We're getting into it as we always do. Next, we're going to talk about that, though, that record signing and how he's faring so far.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Jim Colberg from the London Magpies and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. What a debate we were having in the first 20 minutes or so, talking about where the goals are going to come from, where the points and the wins are going to come from, the wins needed in this final third of the season. We will be looking towards that game with Crystal Palace on the weekend. Harvey Jones, a YouTuber, Crystal Palace YouTuber, will be joining us at the end of the show. But let's talk a little bit now about your record man, your record transfer signing, because we're talking about where the goals are coming from. He's actually a player. I think there's ability there. There is definitely ability there. We've seen what he done in Germany. He needs a little bit of luck. You're saying the team have had luck, Jim. Maybe not him at the minute. He hasn't had the rub of the green. But why I bring this up at the minute, because obviously after the Arsenal game on the weekend, social media, as it always is, was quite rife with talking about your star man, your record signing. And a lot was made in the media, a lot of articles, Aaron, I'm sure you saw, about Joe Linton. For you two, though, the big question is, what do you make of him? And are you sold now that we are two-thirds of the way in the season?
I mean, for me, I'm constantly trying to defend Joe Linton, and it's getting to the stage now where you sort of can't. You know, he's came in, he's had a fantastic start, he saw it in Spurs and everyone thought, here we go, you know what I mean, this is going to be it, him and ASM and Almiron. And then it gets to September and October and you're thinking, right, come on, he's, you know, and now we're still at the same stage. In the lad's defence, you know, as I say, I try and defend him on social media and I get so much stick for it. But so many penalties. And I even... tweeted in the first half against Arsenal on Sunday and said, look, he's had a good first half there. And then what did he do in the second half? I curse him and he goes and have a rubbish game. In his defence, we still don't know if he's an actual out-and-out striker. You know, his goal record doesn't suggest he is. Mm. And, you know, people have said he's better on the left or he's better as a sort of second striker. He's still very, very young.
People forget that, I think, about him.
Yeah, I think the reason he gets so much stick is because of the price tag, you know. Mm. If he'd came in for 15 million or 18 million, I don't think he'd be getting that much of a hard time, but he's came with such a pressure on his shoulders. He's still young. He's in a foreign country with Steve Bruce. You know, he doesn't have many teammates now that'll speak his language. I want to say give him time, but as again, going back to because of how much he's cost, he's fighting a losing battle, really, not scoring.
Yeah, and just actually, because it was Arsenal on the weekend, they're having their own battle, you know. Nicolas Pepe, 72 million people going, look how much money they spent. It hasn't really worked out for him. Again, another young boy from another country, learning the league, learning the language, just like Joe Linton then, Jim. But what I can say for Joe Linton is, he tries every game. He's a workhorse. He really wants to make it happen, sometimes maybe a little bit too eager, but can it turn for him?
Oh, that's really difficult to say, because I think it relies on so many different variables as well, because I really don't think the system as it is, I agree with what Aaron said, he's not an out-and-out striker. Mm. I don't think the whatever research has gone into to what sort of player he is, it doesn't fit
if
the
any
system.
Research has gone into it.
Well, that's it. You know, it's looked at the... I mean, it's not a cheap price tag. It's not like a case like Perez where we've got for 1.5 million and sold for... Mm. For 30, there's obviously the thought process has been that there's the scope there to earn big bucks on this guy, but where that has come from, I'm not sure, because it's not necessarily his goal record, it's not necessarily the position he's playing, but there's not the thought gone in there to see how it's going to fit in that system. We've ripped this system away where I don't know, it's something like 65% of our goals, something ridiculous. Don't quote me on that, but it's a
high percentage. Yeah.
Percentage of our goals have gone, and then we've put this price tag on this lad, and he's got to replace the goals of Perez and Rondon, and that is a huge ask. So he has my sympathies, and I think there's talent there. You know, he's got a good touch. He's technically, he seems like a very capable player, but is he a striker? No. And is he a Newcastle number nine? No, that seems to be the top and bottom of it for me. And there's other factors as well. You know, coming back to the Arsenal game, how defence is linking up with midfield and attack. The midfield was very light for on Newcastle's part with Ben Taleb and Longstaff on Sunday. So you're finding it. We're in positions where Saint-Maximin or Almiron will get the ball run because they're, you know, they're like Sonic the Hedgehog, just to keep topically with the films that are out at the minute. That's the way they are. And they run miles ahead of the rest of the team, and it's reliant on the rest of the team to catch up, including Joe Linton, who seems to be perennially just deep all the time. So it just makes his job so much harder. You've got the system, you've got the pressure that's on him from the lack of goals that have between what was last season and is coming now. My sympathies are for him, and I do want to see him do well, and I think I share a lot of the sentiment what Aaron's just said, to be honest, because it's such a bizarre situation given this price tag and given the pressure that's on him.
Yeah, it's the weight of the price tag. It's also how much that number nine shirt means to Newcastle. He's got to live up to that expectation, but he's got to carry the team, like what Jim said earlier on in the show, Aaron, of the goals that just needs to, not only Newcastle needs to better, it needs to replace from losing last year. And has he been getting the service? We know he's missed the chances and people will point to them, but the chances have been few and far between. It's not like he's had 50 in a game and, you know, he hasn't come up with the goods.
Yeah, I would be interested to see if he did go somewhere elsewhere and played in a different system in England. Because I think he would probably be a different player.
Look at West Ham and Sebastian Haller. He's hardly lit it up. And I don't want to say they're identical, but, you know, they spent similar money and they've had a similar amount of end products with what Newcastle have had with Joe Linton.
As Jim said, I think one of the variables in the Joe Linton situation is the fact that the setup clearly isn't right for him, you know. And when he's having to sit deep, and then when he is getting the ball on the halfway line, and, you know, his supporting players are having to get up the pitch, it's you know, he's looked uncomfortable at times, and, you know, he probably wasn't a Steve Bruce sign. You know, Rafa Benitez did get offered him and Benitez said no, and Ashley has obviously looked at him and thought, he's 22, 23, we're going to get him in, we're going to make millions.
And we're going to sell him for 70.
That's the thing. And the annoying thing is that obviously he's had to come in and replace Rondon's goals. Rondon, who is proven, did so well, worked so well, was available for 16 million, but, you know, he doesn't have the, you know, Mike Ashley doesn't see the pound signs when he sees Rondon.
When your starting point is not, are they going to get goals, are they going to fit within the system, and it's, are they going to make profit, there's your problem in a nutshell, and it's long been the case. What is the profit margin on these players as they come in, and not whether they fit in the team, and whether Steve Bruce is a victim of that or not, that's another debate. But I certainly think that's the case with Joe Linton.
And the ironic thing is that, as I've just said in the break, I can see Saint-Maximin leaving for mega money, and he probably wasn't brought in to sell on. He was relatively cheap in terms of, you know what, 20, 20 million. So it's just, that's just the way it goes. But as I say, I've got my sympathies for him. I hope he turns it around, but it's It's just not looking
well. That's what I mean, because under Ashley, and we spoke about it earlier, I feel like he just wants Newcastle to survive. That product, just so you know, each and every year, there's never going to be this Newcastle attacking football, because we're not seeing it being backed. We're not seeing any manager being backed. We're not seeing that product on the pitch. You know, we're not there for the entertainment. We're just there to survive. And if we can appease fans with a 40 million signing here or there, happy days.
And that's why it's so frustrating sometimes as a Newcastle fan to try and explain to outsiders why we are so against Steve Bruce's appointment, is because for that reason he is just
for what he represents.
He just typifies a Mike Ashley appointment in the sense that Steve Bruce will be delighted if we stay in the Premier League, whereas for Rafa Benitez that was nowhere near good enough.
Well, that was why Rafa was loved. I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but because he went against that, didn't he? And everything that it stood for.
Yeah, and that is obviously why it inevitably was never going to work in the long run, because one, he went against Ashley's signing policy. You know, he turned down Joe Linton, he wasn't going to be a yes man. And he also turned down, you know, he turned down Ashley's ideology of the club, because he didn't want to just sit in 10th or sit in 13th or survive. He wanted to push for Europe and, you know, have things change behind the scene, you know, the academy invested in. And
when have you heard Bruce talk about that?
Exactly.
Or any wider? I mean, that's not getting specifically necessarily at Bruce, but that's just,
I think that's just the difference.
That's
in
just
the
difference
in
the approaches, the way they viewed the club as a long term project. I don't know how it's currently viewed by the current manager. It's hard to say. We don't get that sense of vision in the same way that we did with Rafa, I don't think.
Yeah, it's such an interesting one. It's so good to have Aaron and Jim here tonight, and obviously Jim's return. We are going to talk a little bit about a few other signings and what went on the train journey on the way back to Newcastle after Arsenal on the weekend.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport and Jim Colberg, London Magpies, being represented here. We were just talking about the Arsenal game on the weekend. Where are the goals and the wins going to come from? Steve Bruce's appointment, bit of a yes man there, and how Rafa went against that and everything that he stood for, trying to take the club on a little bit further by further, the next rung on the ladder. Before we look at the game with Palace, obviously, on the weekend, facing those Eagles who can't score themselves, I wanted to talk a little bit about an incident that happened there, obviously, on the weekend. Fans travelling back, the players travelling back after the game. Probably just a storm in a teacup, you know, and a nice, easy headline. No offence, Aaron, not you, obviously. But, you know, a player's getting a little bit rowdy, you know, wanting a few photographs. Danny Rose and Bentaleb were the ones mentioned. What exactly happened? Do you two know? Aaron, can you shed some light? Jim?
I mean, yeah, it looked as if, from social media anyway, it looked like a storm in a teacup. You know, there was obviously some altercation. You know, one group of fans said that Rose and Bentaleb wouldn't take photos with a 10-year-old, and then there's a photo with Rose and Bentaleb with a 10-year-old. So, you know, whether there's that much truth in it, I'm not sure, but there was clearly something. But, you know, I think, I know what Newcastle fans could be like on a 10 o'clock train back from London, and especially when their side's been beat 4-0, there probably was some words said. And, you know, I don't see Danny Rose as a person to hold his tongue. To be fair, he probably has given them a go back, but like you say, it's hard to know these social media rumours, you know, exactly how true it is and has it been talked up. And from the videos I've seen, it doesn't look as if there was a, you know, a full-blown scuffle in the car.
Yeah, much commotion. That. Obviously, we're hearing that fans wanted a photograph. They had a couple of photos. Then they said no. All a bit of a storm in a teacup. But I think Aaron is right there, Jim, when he says, you know, after your team's had a 4-0 hiding, you can understand it a little bit.
Well, I do think, you know, with respect to the commitment that the travelling fans make and the, you know, the level of noise and output they have when they go to away games, I think you do have to recognise that they're probably hurting themselves, the players. There'll be a level of professional pride. They've chosen to go, the storm was happening, rather than fly. I think they've chosen to go by train or which is perfectly acceptable, and been in first class separated, you know, and they've got their right to their privacy and just to keep themselves to themselves. I think from what I've seen of the video, I think there was a lot of sensationalism going on with the titles put on that players were squaring up to fans. I mean, that just seems a bit of a nonsense to me from what I've seen. So I do think, certainly on that front, it's a bit of a storm in a teacup. And I do think that they need to, whilst fans can be entitled to feel disgruntled, you know, there's a ways and means of showing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Danny Rose did make an appearance. He's just someone that did join the club in January. You know, gone back up north. You know where he's originally from. We're hoping this move plays off for him. You know, he's obviously known to the Arsenal fans. He was getting his fair share of booing in North London on the weekend. But Bruce has called on him to prove his doubters wrong. What are you making of his impact so far? Obviously, it has been short. But what have you seen of him?
For me, I feel like I've sort of got swept along a bit when Rose came in, because for a team like Newcastle to sign a player like Danny Rose, it doesn't come along very often, and I think a lot of fans were thinking, oh, here we go, you know, we're getting a Spurs left back, he's still sort of in the England setup, blah, blah, blah. But then you think, you know, and you touched, I remember you said in the other studio, you know, he's not the player you think it is, and I thought, is that just the Arsenal fan coming out?
Oh, come on, you know me better than that, Aaron.
But I think when you look at his form, and he clearly didn't get on with, he was clearly rumbling behind the scenes with Poch, and Mourinho didn't want him. So he has got a lot to prove, you know, and especially when we've got Matt Ritchie, who is more than competent to play left back, and who I would probably be playing at left back. Williams, who had such a good start to the season. Rose has got a lot to prove, not just to Newcastle fans, but also to, you know, himself and his critics.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, someone who joins us now who can get to have their say on it is Andrew Musgrave of the Newcastle United podcast. Andrew, really great that you've joined us tonight. Always a pleasure to get you on and get your insight. We're talking Danny Rose on the weekend. Is he someone that can still shine and make an impact at Newcastle?
I think so. I mean, obviously, he wasn't. It's not that long since he was in England international. There's still hope that he could be in the squad for Euro 2020. And I think that's one of the reasons he wanted to get up here, he wanted to prove himself, and Steve Bruce mentioned it at his press conference before the Arsenal game as well, that one of the key reasons was that he felt he could offer him first team football. And Danny Rose, he's got his connections to the north, he's been told about Steve Bruce, but he felt it was a good opportunity to play some football until the end of the season, and, you know, really push his way into Gareth Southgate's thinking.
Hi, Andrew. It's Aaron here. I'm just wondering, are you surprised that he's came straight in, you know, with Richie coming back? And are you also surprised that Bentaleb's been thrown straight in, you know, given that he hasn't played a lot of football this season, and obviously with Hayden and Shelvey and Longstaff all playing all right over the Christmas period, are you surprised he's been thrust in the last couple of games?
With Rose, I'm not, because I think to get a player like Danny Rose, and it's just my opinion, I think there would have been some assurances, because I think Newcastle probably weren't the only team that were after him. So I think to get a player of Danny Rose's talent, there was probably some assurances. I say that's just my opinion. But I would always play Matt Ritchie. I would find a way for him. I think he is the standard in terms of passion and commitment that you need when you're fighting against relegation. You can always hear him talking. You can always hear him shouting instructions. He's like a second captain. That, from my personal point of view, I would have perhaps looked to have worked Matt Ritchie in there, whether it had been right wing back or maybe even changed it further upfield. But I think Danny Rose is always likely to start. In terms of Neville Bentaleb, I think, again, he's someone that Bruce wanted. You've got the issue that he hadn't played a lot of football, so he is lacking match fitness. And I guess the more minutes he gets under his belt compared to football, it works towards him being fully fit. There's some nice touches going on, and you know, he's showing promise, but it is all about that fitness. And I think, again, you just wonder whether... I don't know if you heard Alex Bruce. He's been speaking about Bentaleb and how he's impressed his father in training. So I think even when Shelvey and the likes get back to fitness, I think Bentaleb would probably be that number one. And it is a dilemma, isn't it? Because, like you say, you mentioned he had now, for me, should always be in the starting role, and then you've got Sean Longstaff. You've got Shelvey, who's the creativity. It's certainly going to be interesting over the next few weeks just to see how Bruce manages to fit everybody in.
Hi, Andrew. It's Jim here from London Magpies. I was just wondering, based on what you've inferred about a lot of the other players and the signings that were made, how well do you think they're going to address the needs of the side? There's obviously a lot been made of a lack of a striker. How well do you think the signings that have been made do address that?
Well, I think you've got creativity, obviously, through Lazaro and through Bentaleb and Rose. Like we mentioned on his day, is one of the best in the Premier League in that role. It wasn't, I think it was probably last season or no longer than 18 months, we were talking about him possibly being the best kind of wing back, left back in the Premier League. So I think it's more to do with potentially the system to suit Julian, in my opinion, which would need to be sorted, and I can't really see that changing. I think they brought in three good players. A striker would have made it a very good window, I think. But I think you can't be... I'm not disappointed, speaking as a reporter and as a fan as well, to see the three they have brought in, because I think they can add quality, add competition. I think we saw glimpses of what Lazaro can do in that first half against Arsenal. He had a decent first 45 minutes and it fell apart in the second half. But we did see he could get forward and hopefully start supplying something for Joe Linton. But also you've got Mutu and Gale coming back, and that is probably going to be the key, especially Gale. He impressed, didn't he, in that half an hour against Wolves before he got injured. He had a hand in Miguel Almirón's goal. And I'll be interested to see how he fits in, because I think he could really add something. I think he could really benefit Joe Linton. But it's all about who do you drop out and who do you bring in. And it's interesting because you've got Almirón, you've got St. Maximin. You can't really see them two dropping out. But then do you drop a £40 million striker who, I think, once he gets a few goals in under his belt, I think he will start scoring. I think it is a confidence thing. But I do think it rests more on the likes of Gale showing what he can do in the Premier League, and he's going to be hungry to prove a point as well, rather than the players who've actually come in.
We've obviously talked about Bruce earlier in the show, and you know, you're at the game most weeks, and you're around the city, you get the feeling. Obviously, around Christmas time, it seemed like there was a bit of a turn in the tide. You know, fans were maybe starting to get on board, you know, seven unbeaten, and obviously that's fallen away a bit. But what's the general consensus now that Bruce has had two-thirds of the season? Do you think fans are slowly starting to warm towards him?
It's interesting, because I think we were all on social media and we all see it. There was an eruption of discontent after that Arsenal game, and it happens after every defeat. And I think what everybody needs to do is just realise that actually those on Twitter, they're not a full representation of those in the ground, of the supporters around the city, of people who email me or their thoughts or the news desk. You know, it's not just what happens on social media. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people on social media, certain accounts that are quite prominent, are very anti-Bruce. But like you said, in the stadium, you know, his name has been sung in certain games, and that was the turning point. I think what we've got to remember is that, look, it would have been great Rafa Benitez staying and getting backed, but he's gone, and we can either hope that maybe we can reminisce about Benitez and saying he should have stayed, and et cetera, or we can just kind of say, right, we've got to see Bruce, let's get behind him, and let's just support the team. I think that's what a lot of people that are going to the stadium are doing. A lot of people have walked away because Benitez was allowed to walk away, and are understandably unhappy with Mike Ashley. But I think it's all about now just getting to the summer and then reevaluating, because it's going to be a massive summer, isn't it, for Steve Bruce. If Newcastle survive, and then he's going to hopefully get the chance to stamp his own mark on the team, and then it's all about it clicking together, and then, you know, a bad run, he will probably face a lot more questions than he is now.
Yeah, Andrew, you mentioned it there. You're a fan first and foremost. You know, you go home and away, week in, week out. It's a really strange season, this one, obviously. You know, we mentioned it. We can look at the stats better than where Newcastle were last year at this stage of the season. You know, not scoring enough goals, but getting wins in places that maybe they weren't expecting them wins. But the season really is still all in front of them and still to play for, especially with, you know, being in the fifth round of the FA Cup, first time since 2006, a winnable game against West Brom. They might not put their starters out. We know of them in their Championship season. What are you making of it all from that perspective?
It's strange, isn't it? Because you can just see Steve Bruce getting to a final of an FA Cup, and it would just be typical Newcastle that, you know, he'd probably go out and win it, and all the drama and all the discontent and all, you know, all the atmosphere, the negative atmosphere when Newcastle lose games, just to be then totally outdone by an FA Cup win. It would be so typical Newcastle to do that. And I think there's genuine excitement that the fact that Newcastle are into their fifth round, they do face a team like you say who are concentrating on promotion, are unlikely to put out a strong team or their strongest team. I think because it's been so long since we've won the trophy, 1969, there's just a genuine excitement, and people aren't getting carried away, but you know, a win against West Brom and then people might start dreaming of what happens next. And then hopefully that could be a springboard for better form in the league. And you've got, you know, they haven't won enough games recently, but they've also not lost a lot. And a couple of wins, you know, you're into the top 10. It's a bizarre season. And I think you're just hoping that they get through the next round, get the cup, and that can be a springboard. They've got to really get through the Palace on Saturday. And then you've got to beat Burnley. You've got to start beating them teams around you. It's no good relying on a counter-attacking style against, you know, the top teams or the top six, and which has worked well. But you've got to start beating them teams around you.
Yeah, got to start beating those teams. Andrew, we really appreciate you giving us time tonight. We know how busy you are. Really good of you to come on. Hopefully we get you on later on in the season. Andrew Musgrave there from the Newcastle United podcast. But he said you've got to start getting the wins from somewhere, as Jim and Aaron have said tonight. And that starts with Crystal Palace, and that is on the weekend. And Harvey Jones will be joining us next to give us the opposition view.
Love Sport. The opposition view on Love Sport.
Oh, the opposition view. You're listening to the Newcastle United fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining the studio with Jim Colberg from the London Magpies and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. Brilliant to hear from Andrew Musgrave there from the Newcastle United podcast, talking obviously about the team at the minute. Steve Bruce, Rafa, he always gets a mention. We know why, because he wanted it the right way, the way the fans care about, not being a yes man to Ashley. But we are turning our attentions to the game on the weekend, and it is Crystal Palace. And as Jim said, this is a team that are in similar state to Newcastle with how many goals they're scoring at the minute. And the man to tell us more, it is Harvey Jones. Harvey, really a pleasure to get you on. Always enjoy having a chat with you. Normally on the Crystal Palace fan show, we've swiped you over to the Newcastle show to give the opposition view. You just heard it there, though. Both teams struggling to score goals. One win in 11 for Palace. Newcastle will fancy their chances. But what are you making of the contest?
Yeah, evening, guys. I think, as you put it there, it's been a really, really poor start to 2020 for Palace. You know, you highlighted the lack of goals, and that's obviously been a problem for both teams. But I think Palace, we're joint worst team for goals scored in the Football League, I think, this season. 23 goals scored, and that's joint worst with Stevenage. So wow. we're in a really poor way, a horrid state of affairs in front of goal. And to be honest, I think that we're in quite similar positions, Newcastle and Palace, right now. Maybe not so much in terms of form. I think Newcastle definitely on better form and are looking, after a poor start to the season, they're almost on the up, rather than Palace, who started well and now we're starting to slowly slip down the table. But I think off the pitch as well, we're, you know, both two teams that, where the fans don't really know which direction the club are going in. Two sets of fans who are starting to, obviously we know Newcastle fans and how much there's a gap between Mike Ashley, and everyone wants to see him out the club, and that's been obvious for a number of years now. But there's starting to be a growing number of fans of Palace who want the owners out here as well, because of just the lack of ambition and the feeling amongst the fans that we're not really pressing anywhere. We're not showing any ambition to move forward. We're starting to get stagnant, and that's when you can slip out of the league. And, you know, not a lot of funding, only $2.5 million spent in the last three windows for Palace on one player. So we're in a similar state of affairs, I think. And it's a game where I'm not expecting it to be a classic game at all. I think it's going to be quite a boring game. Not many goals, as you mentioned there. And I think there won't be many goals in this one at the weekend either.
Hi, Harvey. It's Jim from London Magpies here.
Hi there, mate.
Hiya. I was just wondering, given the position that we're in very similar positions, it'd be nice to think that we're either looking up the league or looking down. Which one is it for you guys at the minute, in terms of, are you looking over your shoulder, or are you trying to look to push on?
It's definitely looking over our shoulder at the moment, and it's a real shame seeing the position that we were in come Christmas, really. Obviously, we had a period over Christmas and New Year where we had, I think, 11 players out of the team. So we really struggled with injuries, and I think it's starting to catch up on us now. We're getting a lot of those players back fit. Andros Townsend came back a few weeks ago, which was big for us, obviously former Newcastle player. And we had players like Jeffrey Schlupp, who's coming back into the team, Sacco in defence, Cahill, who was out for a brief period as well, Benteke, who was injured up front, he's starting to come back as well, and he obviously scored against Everton, ending a really long goal drought for him. Still lost the game, but it was good to see him score. Even though we are getting players back, it feels like that injury crisis we had over the Christmas New Year period is starting to catch up on us, and we seem to be very fatigued. We don't have the same energy levels we had at the start of the season, where we were getting a lot of 1-0 results going our way. We're now starting to see it flip and go the other way, and we're really struggling to get back into games. So it's definitely looking over our shoulder. I do still feel that the points we got on the board early in the season will be enough come the end of the season to keep us up. I don't think we will go down. But it feels like a carbon copy of seasons gone by. And again, it goes back to my point on lack of direction. It feels like we're getting quite stagnant as a club. And it is frustrating as a fan, especially when you look at how poor a lot of the teams have been this season. There is a real chance for one of the teams in the mid-table group, like Newcastle as well, and Palace, to potentially break through and make a push for that, maybe snatch a seventh place and get in a qualifying spot for Europa League. And it feels like a lot of the teams have just bottled it and not really taken their chance.
Hi Harvey, it's Aaron here. I just wanted to touch on Roy Hodgson. You know, he's came in and he's been a very, very safe pair of hands the last couple of seasons, but he never really seems to be in any trouble of losing his job. But at the same time, you know, Palace haven't really kicked on despite having, you know, that Premier League money the last couple of years. What's the general consensus among fans? Are you sort of happy that, you know, for Roy to stay, or is it maybe time to maybe, you know, push on and maybe go for it with a new fresh manager?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, the fans are very split on Hodgson at the moment. It does feel like he goes from a game where he sets the team up tactically very well, maybe gets a really good result. We've seen that away to Man United, for example, early on the season, away to Manchester City, getting a draw and winning there last season. You know, he has those games where he sets the team up perfectly, makes subs at the right time, and you can do nothing but praise him for what he's done on the touchline and prepared for the game. And then he can go from that one week and then go the next week to playing like, for example, a Bournemouth away or a team of that calibre, and not setting up and just completely the performance is chalk and cheese, really. And I think it's that inconsistency that has frustrated a lot of fans, has turned a few fans. He really doesn't have the consistency that we'd like to see right now, which has probably contributed a lot to the position that we're in at the moment. I do think he's in the last year of his contract. I think is a good point to bring up, and he hasn't been offered an extension as of yet, and I think that is a telling sign. He is the oldest manager in Premier League history. He surpassed Sir Bobby Robson last season, and I think he's 77 now, Roy Hodgson. But I think that it's all gearing towards him potentially resigning at the end of the season or moving on. I do think this will be his last season at Palace. I'll be surprised if he is offered another 1-year extension, to be brutally honest, because of just the inconsistent performances. So as much as there are some fans that love him, because obviously he was a Croydon boy and a Palace boy through and through, and that connection and the first few seasons, he's done an amazing job to even keep us in the Premier League, seeing the position that he took over from Frank de Boer. But it is starting, I think, catch up on him a bit, and it goes back to that point, it seemed to be quite stale, the tactics not very entertaining at all, and just a lack of ambition and lack of progression. And it is frustrating, it is really frustrating, because we have players like Zahar, very, very similar to Saint-Maximin as well for Newcastle, where you have that talented player but you feel like he's not being used properly, and it's so much depending on him to get results, and the rest of the team aren't really pulling through for him.
Yeah, absolutely, Harvey. You know, saying you share those frustrations that Newcastle fans share. Want to see attacking football, want to see goals. They're used to being entertained on the terraces. But for you, Harvey, very quickly, what is your score prediction?
Score prediction, like I said, I don't think there are going to be goals in this one. I can't see it being too entertaining, to be honest. It's going to be all down to who's going to counter-attack best. And it's going to be the battle of Zahar against Saint-Maximin, really. I think whoever comes out on top out of those two players, will their team will win the game. So I'm going to go 1-0 Palace, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 1-0.
Oh, Harvey, just when you were making friends. Always good to have you on the show. Harvey Jones there from Red and Blue site. Always good to get Harvey's insight, actually, on Palace. He was going for a 1-0 win, though. Not many goals. I'll turn my attentions to you two. Aaron, what are you saying on the weekend?
I'm saying 0-0 and last on match of the day.
Oh, Jim, please, as a returnee, give us something to hope and to live off.
I'm going to say 1-0 Newcastle.
Come on, Jim.
But with the caveat that I want to see some ideas, I want to see some progress, I want to see a lack of... Well,
direction.
I perceive to be excuses. It needs to be a plan. It needs to be a sense of something and to roll into the FA Cup going forward.
Absolutely. Well, Jim wants a plan, but he's also giving us the hope of 3 points. Aaron says 0-0. Either way, we'll be back at the same time next week, every Wednesday at 7 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.